Here's a number that should bother you a little. For most of the history of powered flight, the moment an airliner crossed a couple hundred miles offshore, nobody could actually see it. Not the controllers, not radar, nobody. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the piece of surveillance technology that quietly fixed one of the oldest blind spots in aviation, not by building a better radar, by putting the receivers in space. Let's break this down. You probably know the ground side of the story already, Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, ADS-B. Since January of 2020, if you fly in most controlled airspace in the United States, your airplane has to broadcast its position. A transponder in the panel takes a GPS fix, figures out exactly where you are, how high, how fast, which direction, and it shouts all of that out over the radio about twice a second, on a frequency called 1090 MHz, or for a lot of the light general aviation fleet on 978. That's the broadcast part. Your airplane is dependent on its own GPS to know where it is, and it automatically tells everyone, whether they asked or not. Ground stations hear it. Other airplanes with the right equipment hear it, and it works beautifully. As long as somebody is close enough to listen, and that's the catch that most people never think about. ADS-B is just a radio broadcast. 1090 MHz is essentially line of sight. That signal goes out to the horizon, and then it's gone. Over the continental United States, that's fine. Because the FAA built a network of more than 700 ground stations, and there's almost always one within range. But airplanes don't stay over land. Roughly 70% of the Earth is ocean. Add in the poles, the deserts, the big empty stretches of Africa and the Southern Hemisphere, and well over half the planet has no ground stations at all. No radar either. Radar has the exact same horizon problem. Plus, it needs a giant antenna and a lot of power. And you cannot exactly build a radar tower in the middle of the North Atlantic. So, how did controllers handle the ocean for 70 years? They didn't watch it, they calculated it. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you've got a milestone coming up, or somebody in your life who just earned one, take a look. AviationSoul.com. So, the ocean, for decades, oceanic air traffic control was done by a method called procedural separation, and it is almost charmingly old-fashioned. A pilot crossing the Atlantic would radio in position reports over high-frequency radio, the same crackly long-distance radio your grandfather might have used. We are at this waypoint, at this altitude, at this time, and we estimate the next waypoint at this time. The controller would write it down, sometimes literally on a paper strip. And because the controller couldn't see the airplane, and the next report might be 40 minutes away, they had to leave enormous cushions of empty air around every single flight. We're talking separation standards on the order of 80 to 100 nautical miles between airplanes on the same track, and 10 minutes in trail behind each other. Think about that. The airplane ahead of you could be 100 miles away, and you'd still be told to slow down or change altitude. Here's what most people miss about that. Those huge cushions weren't just an inconvenience. They cost real money and burned real fuel. The North Atlantic is the busiest oceanic airspace in the world. Something like 1,400 flights a day funnel through a set of tracks we call the North Atlantic Organized Track System. And because controllers were flying blind, a lot of those airplanes couldn't get the altitude they wanted or the exact route they wanted. They'd be stuck a few thousand feet off their optimal cruise, quietly wasting fuel, for the entire crossing. Because the airspace above them was reserved for separation, they couldn't verify any other way. The airplanes were broadcasting their ADS-B position the whole time. Perfect data, twice a second. It's just that out there, nobody was listening. So a company called Aireon asked a very engineer question. If the problem is that there's no ground within range, what if we stop using the ground? The data tells an interesting story here. And it starts with a satellite company called Iridium. Iridium runs a constellation of communications satellites. And back in the 2010s, they needed to replace their aging fleet with a brand new generation. They called the new one Iridium Next. 66 operational satellites plus spares flying in 6 orbital planes in a low orbit only about 480 miles up. Crucially, that constellation is designed so that every point on Earth is always underneath at least one satellite. All of it, the oceans, the poles, everywhere. Aireon's idea was to hitch a ride on every single one of those 66 Iridium Next satellites. They installed a hosted payload, a specialized ADS-B receiver purpose-built for space, riding piggyback on somebody else's spacecraft. That's a genuinely clever piece of business and engineering, because building and launching your own 66-satellite constellation would cost billions. Sharing one that was getting built anyway is a fraction of that. The satellites went up on a series of Falcon 9 launches between 2017 and 2019, and by April of 2019, Ariane's space-based ADS-B was live and operational, covering the entire planet. Now, let's talk about why this is genuinely hard, because it is not as simple as put a radio in orbit. Remember, ADS-B was designed as a short-range, line-of-sight broadcast. Your transponder puts out maybe a couple hundred watts, and it was engineered to be heard by a ground station a few dozen miles away or an airplane a few miles away. Nobody who designed it was thinking about a receiver 480 miles straight up, moving at 17,000 miles an hour. The signal reaching orbit is faint, vanishingly faint, and here's the harder part. 1090 MHz is a crowded, messy frequency, down near a busy area. Thousands of airplanes and old-fashioned transponders are all squawking on that same channel, stepping on each other constantly. On the ground, that's manageable because you only hear the local ones. But a satellite 480 miles up can see a circle of the Earth's surface, something like 2,500 miles across. From up there, you're hearing every single transmitter in an area bigger than the continental United States, all blended together into one roar of overlapping signals. Pulling one specific airplane's position out of that noise from that distance, and doing it reliably enough that a controller can bet lives on it, is a serious signal processing achievement. That's the real engineering story here. Not the launch, the listening. And it works. Ariane and the regulators ran an extended validation over the North Atlantic, with Nav Canada and Britain's Air Navigation Service, NATS, running the two sides of that ocean. They spent months comparing the space-based track against every other source they had to prove it was solid. Then they started shrinking the cushions. The North Atlantic went from separation measured in the tens of minutes and 100 miles down toward a target of about 14 nautical miles between airplanes in trail. Let that land for a second. A blind stretch of airspace where the buffer used to be 100 miles is now down to about 14. That is not a small improvement. That is a completely different ocean. What does that buy the pilots and the airlines? Three things, mostly. First, altitude. When controllers can actually see you, they can approve the climb to your optimal altitude far more often because they no longer have to protect a giant block of sky for an airplane they can't track. Fly closer to your best altitude and you burn less fuel. Across 1,400 flights a day, that adds up to real numbers, real emissions, real dollars. Second, routing. More airplanes can fly closer to the ideal wind-optimized route instead of being spread out for safety. Third, and this is the one that matters most on a bad day, safety. If an airplane deviates, if it drifts off its track or descends when it shouldn't, controllers now know in seconds instead of finding out at the next position report 40 minutes later, if at all. That is a fundamentally different level of oversight over the most remote airspace on Earth. Now, I promised you balance, and this is a technology segment, so let's be honest about the caveats, because there are real ones. The biggest is the word we started with, dependent. ADS-B, space-based or not, is dependent on the airplane telling the truth about where it is. The satellite is just a very good listener. If the transponder is switched off, the satellite hears nothing. If the airplane's GPS is being spoofed or jammed and GPS interference near conflict zones is a growing and genuine problem right now, then the airplane may broadcast a confident, precise, completely wrong position, and the satellite will faithfully relay that wrong position to the controller. Space-based ADS-B does not solve that. If anything, it makes the integrity of the underlying GPS signal more important than ever, because we're now leaning on it out over the ocean where there's no radar to cross-check. Second caveat. This is surveillance, not communication. The satellite can see the airplane, but the controller still has to be able to talk to the pilot, and over the ocean that's still often done over that same old high-frequency radio or over satellite data link. Seeing an airplane and being able to instantly instruct it are two different problems, and space-based ADS-B only fixed the first one. Third, and this is the uncomfortable one, it's a single commercial constellation from essentially one provider that a huge slice of the world's air navigation providers now rely on. That's a lot of critical global infrastructure resting on one company's satellites. The system has redundancy built in, and it's been remarkably reliable, but concentration like that is always worth keeping an eye on. And one more thing people always ask about, because of the headlines. Would this have found the Malaysia Airlines Boeing 777, the one that vanished in 2014? Honest answer, Not by itself, and not if the transponder was off, which appears to be what happened. Space-based ADS-B closes the gap for airplanes that are broadcasting. It is not a magic tracker for an airplane that has gone dark on purpose. What that disappearance did do was light a fire under the whole industry to never again lose an airliner over the ocean. And space-based surveillance is a big part of the answer that came out of it. Just not a complete one. Anyone who tells you it's complete is selling something. So, where does this go from here? The current constellation is the first generation, and it proved the concept beyond any doubt. Over water, over the poles, over the empty middle of continents, we now have persistent, real-time surveillance for the first time in aviation history. The remote parts of the world can now be run more like the airspace over your home field. That is a genuine leap, and it happened with surprisingly little fanfare for something this big. The honest timeline for the next step depends on the next generation of the Iridium constellation and on more of the world's oceanic regions adopting the tighter separation standards the technology finally makes possible. Some regions have moved fast. Others are still working through the certification and the procedures, because when you're reducing the space between airplanes over the ocean, you do not rush the paperwork. And you shouldn't. Here's the thought I want to leave you with. We spent decades trying to solve the ocean problem by building bigger and bigger radars and stringing along garbled radio position reports. And the answer in the end wasn't a better version of the old thing at all. The airplanes were already broadcasting perfect data the whole time. We just needed to move the listener. Sometimes the breakthrough isn't a new signal, it's a new place to stand. The details on this one come from Aireon, from Nav Canada and NATS on the North Atlantic side, from Iridium on the constellation itself, and from the FAA's own surveillance and broadcast services program. You can find us at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Keep looking at how the pieces fit together, and I'll see you on the next one.